This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Happy Thanksgiving.
And let's go.
To all that download Sharp Money, we appreciate you. It's been a fun ride through this football season. Sharp Money heading into Thanksgiving. If you're with your family, as Samo is out there in North Carolina, Raleigh, shout to the Hurricanes. I'm still in Hermosa Beach, but if you're with your family, enjoy it. Enjoy the football. And don't forget our best deal, $60. Black Friday's coming up, Samo. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. The real cool thing about this one is if you sign up to become a VSiN Pro, you get everything through May 1st. So that's got you covered with the tournament. That's got you covered with football. Obviously, it's got you covered with the Masters. So make sure you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. But it is Mike Somich Thanksgiving. And the NFL has turned it into, I think Thanksgiving's a one seed when it comes to holidays, but then you add in the background the three games, and we've got two great ones this Thanksgiving. It's freaking awesome.
Two great ones. I think we got three bangers, Patrick. I'm excited to watch all three of these football games. I mean, usually you're like, oh man, the Detroit Lions are playing. What a terrible game. We'll just have that one on in the background. Now you've got good football games on all three of these. I mean, I could not be more excited for the Thanksgiving menu here. I too am a Thanksgiving one seed person. For like, I love turkey. Like, capital L-O-V-E, love turkey. So like all this talk about like, what's your favorite side? Give me the turkey, baby. Let's go. I don't need all the sides. I don't need all the mashed potatoes. I don't care about your yam, jelly, jam crap. Give me that turkey and inject the football right into my veins.
Light meat or dark meat? Pause.
I mean, it's dark and it's not close, right? I mean, you gotta salt up the light meat and you gotta add the gravy on top of it. Like, you're trying to make it more moist. I'm gonna get in trouble for using that word, but you're trying to make it more moist. If you're trying to get it there, like, the dark meat just has the flavor, it has the taste. You got to go with it. It's not even close.
And we have to all agree. Sorry to Christopher Columbus or whoever brought the cranberry sauce, but you can take that and shove it up your ass.
See, most overrated side in the world. I've never, like, what are we doing? Why do we have to have cranberry sauce at all this thing?
We don't.
No, here's the funny part. Like, one person has the cranberry. When is the cranberry sauce ever gone? It's never gone. There's always
comes out of the can, still
yeah.
in the same. We don't need that.
No,
we need cocktails. What is going to be just kind of floating around the house with the family there? What's going to be the cocktail of choice?
So I am a huge fan of ranch water. Have you heard of ranch water before?
Yes, but I don't know what it is specifically.
It's like a Texas tequila drink. But there's this new company that put out ranch water in can form. So you can get like the spicy ranch water. You can get the original. There's a pickled pear version of it. It is delicious. I can't find it in Santa Barbara. But don't worry. I went to my old convenience store here. There it is, sitting on the shelf. Got a 12 or over in the house right next door. Cannot wait to crack into that.
I'm writing that down. Is it too sugary or is it pretty clean?
No, it's pretty clean. Like, that's the thing. A lot of the seltzers are all bubbly. There's so much crap going in that, like, I just like that cleaner, nicer flavor on it. It's a 4% alcohol, so you can drink it all day. You can enjoy it in the sun. You can enjoy it when it's chilly out. It's just a good all-around beverage. I'll shoot you a picture. We're talking about, like, a Nelson DeMille book and 12 of these, and you are a happy camper, let me tell you, my friend.
As a single man, that sounds like heaven. And just quickly, I also will go tequila on a day like today, Thanksgiving. I go Lalo tequila,
okay.
L-A-L-O, super clean. You have as much as you want, no hangover the next day. But I'm going to look up ranch water and try
look
to find
that.
It here in Hermosa.
Tequila and Zin, how is that for you? Is that a good combo?
Are you kidding me? That's better than getting married or sex. that's called love.
Yeah, that's love. Right
okay,
there.
Let's start it. And I always used to apologize to people as a Lions fan. We used to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
That nationally, people had to watch the Lions because it was bad. I bring you to 2025. I'm 47 years old, and I think it is the most important and integral game in the history of my Lions experience on Thanksgiving. 3:05, Green Bay's at Detroit. We sat here. Now the numbers baked. It was 3 pretty much everywhere. It's 2.5 pretty much everywhere. We were right to jump on the 2.5. Excuse me, we both said 3.
Yeah, we took
and now you can find a 3 if you like Green Bay. But if you want to lay it with Detroit, you can find it 2.5. And I'll be very clear. I just got off the phone with my dad saying happy Thanksgiving. I am taking the 3 with Green Bay happily.
Yeah, it's funny. We used to be thankful for Barry Sanders because he got us through boring Lions games on Thanksgiving. And now we're actually thankful for the entire Lions team. This is a fun football team. And this is a really important game for both of these teams. We saw a hungover Lions team last week have to go to overtime to be able to beat the Giants. Look, this is a Packers team. We're still waiting for the 60-minute effort. Last week, they got a snoozer through where you had J.J. McCarthy just being absolutely terrible. It was a Packers team that didn't really try for 2.5 quarters. They're going to have to try for 4 quarters. And this was the Lions team that they absolutely blitzed in week one. This is like the Green Bay, the version that can win the Super Bowl we have seen once this year. It was week one against this Lions team. I am fascinated to see, okay, Dan Campbell, what changes are you going to make? How are you going to adjust to what Green Bay was able to do on the defensive side of the football? Are you going to be able to run the football? Because you couldn't run it in week one. Can you run it here after we saw Jahmyr Gibbs go off with 14 carries and over 200 yards last week? I like the pack because I like the 3 points. To me, this is a flip game. It's a coin flip. And I'll take the 3 anytime there's a coin flip. A great way to kick off Thanksgiving Day.
The Lions needed a 59-yarder against the Giants field goal to force that to overtime. That's a record for Bates. The play calling is stale with Campbell, which interferes with his in-game management. The week one game where Green Bay dominated sets up a lot of storylines here. And then you add the fact that it's division. The Packers are plus 125, plus 150 are the Lions. And Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears are sitting atop the North. Like I said, controversial. Thank you for the 15 wins last year. You're fired, Dan. We're keeping Ben Johnson, but here we are, and he's my coach. But yeah, I love the Packers need to do something different than they've done. They need to play 4 quarters here.
They do. And the defense needs to play well. The offense needs to play well. They need to play complementary football. We have not seen both of these units play well for a full football game since this week one of the Lions. It's been the offense against the Cowboys in the 40-40 tie. It's been the defense last week against the Vikings. It's yet to see both of these teams be able to perform at a high level. Josh Jacobs, the one question mark here. I expect him to go for Green Bay. It seems like everything is pointing toward him being able to go as well, so we'll have to keep an eye on him. We do have rushing props up for him, so I'd be very surprised if he does not go in this spot. And they need all hands on deck here. You need everybody to be able to perform. You mentioned the division. This is a win, and you are a heavy favorite to win the division if you're Green Bay, because you have both wins against the Lions. You have a half game advantage because of the tie. You've got the Bears taking on the Eagles on Friday. I expect them to lose. All of a sudden, you're sitting atop this division. So big game for both of these teams, and whether or not they want to be a division winner or a wild card team heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's 10 a.m. my time, 1 a.m. on your time, the East Coast. The middle game that day, the second of 3, is going to be a great one, honestly, because of the win coming back from 21-0 by Philadelphia last year, the coming back and winning for Kansas City, I said last year, last week. So it sets up an important game for both the Cowboys and the Chiefs. You've got the Chiefs laying 3.5, and you've got 52 on the total.
Take the points, baby. Take the 3.5 here. This is a... I don't know, man. Jerry's cooking. I can't believe I'm going to say that. I don't think long-term this is going to work great, but the moves that he made to be able to add a defensive interior to that defensive line has paid dividends. It made it very difficult to run the football against this Cowboys team. They got 2 additional players back from IR during their bye. This defense has been a different defense the last 2 weeks, and we did not see it early against Philadelphia, but we sure saw it late where they were able to allow the offense to be able to come back from down 21, because that defense could not give up any more points. They wanted to win that football game. To me, you now have a top 5 offensive unit in Dallas with a top 18, 15 defensive unit, and that makes them a really good football team. This is a legitimate Cowboys team if the defense can play the way it has. Flip over to the Chiefs side. You talked about that the Detroit play calling being stale. What are we doing in Kansas City? Like you can't have Kareem Hunt running the football 30 times. You need to get Rice involved. You need to get Worthy involved on these runs. It took a minor miracle for them to be able to come back last week against the Colts, and that minor miracle was Shane Steichen turtling up in the second half of that football game to allow Kansas City to come back. I'm not saying the wrong team's favorite here. Kansas City should be a favorite, but it should not be over 3.5. I think this should be Chiefs -2.5, so I'm happy to get the Cowboys at 3.5. Right now available -115, the best price in the market at DraftKings.
I would agree. Take the 3.5. I also do like you can find a 52. Enjoy game 2 on Thanksgiving, because It may start a little slower, and I do agree that the defense, Kenny Clark next to Quinnen Williams, makes Kenny Clark that much better, and obviously Williams. I think the second half is just going to be loose. It's going to be wide open, different from what we saw from Philadelphia against Dallas in the second half. You're going to see points. I think it really is going to be an explosion. So I like the 3.5, and I like the over there.
Keep an eye on Pacheco as well in this spot. He is listed in all the rushing props, so he is expected to play for Kansas City. We saw Hunt get all those carries last week. We'll see what Pacheco looks like off the injury, but it should give a little bit of a boost to that Kansas City rushing game. If he can run like he did when he left, because he was a different version of himself early in the season, came back, got better, but then got hurt again. We'll see what version of Pacheco we get tomorrow.
309, Cincinnati's at Baltimore. Baltimore all of a sudden sitting atop their division. And here comes Cincinnati. Great answer from Burrow. They're out of it. He said, why are you playing? He said, I get paid a lot of money to play a sport with my friends. And I agree with him. He should be playing, especially, listen, it's entertainment. It's Thanksgiving. We need the best that you can offer. Cincinnati is catching 7. So that did dip down from the 7.5 because Burrow's confirmation.
Yeah, he did. And we took the 7.5 on Sunday, talked about that was the line that you want to be on, because if Burrow does go, he ends up moving down. This is a Ravens team that I also think is just really fraudulent. And that's because of their market rating, not because of anything they're doing on the football field. This defense just not as good as everyone thought they would be. We got a banged up secondary as well. And then Lamar Jackson, he just doesn't look right. And it's not his fault. He's injured. He's banged up. He can't move. When you watch him try and run, when you watch him try and extend plays and scramble, he's just not explosive. And it's because of the knee. It's because of the ankle. It's because of the hammy. It's because of all of these injuries that have just kind of built up over the season. I disagree. So look, I agree and disagree with you. You were right. Joe Burrow should want to play. You're right. It is a game. It is entertainment. Joe Burrow being out there is a good thing for all of that. It's malpractice by the Bengals organization to put him out there, though. There is no reason Joe Burrow should be playing this game when they're 3-8. What is the upside, Patrick?
No. I'm coming from just a perspective of, I like the mindset of Burrow saying, I know we can pack it up and save it for next year, but I'm a competitor. Mm-hmm. From a big business perspective, of course he shouldn't be playing.
No, you're going to get a better or worse draft pick. And what if he gets hurt? This offensive line stinks. We're not going to protect him. There's a world where he blows an ACL out. God forbid. I do not want that to happen. But it's not like this is a situation where you've got a great offensive line protecting your franchise quarterback. This is a situation where you have a franchise quarterback who is coming back from an injury that was a serious injury that doesn't have the protection to be able to just be able to sit back there and throw the football. And if you win games, you get a worse pick, which affects Burrow and that organization next year. If I own the Bengals, I would call up the GM, call up the coach and be like, hey, guys, he's sitting or you're fired. Go ahead. You take the pick. And apparently, not going to happen.
If you like Baltimore, there is juice headed down, so you could find a 6.5 by the time this kicks off.
I don't hate the over either. 51.5 available. This is a Bengals defense that stinks out loud, but I do think they're going to be able to score points. Fun prop game to close it out, too.
Chase is going to get targets.
This is the best of the prop games, man, because we're no T. Higgins here. Concussion on Sunday. He's not going to be able to make it back. That means it's going to be a lot of Jamar Chase, and it's going to be a fun game from a prop perspective. Zay Flowers, I think, is interesting on the Ravens side.
Speaking of fun games, 3:13, Black Friday, we got our special here at VSIN, and we got a good game. Chicago's at Philadelphia. Now, you don't believe in Chicago.
Mm-mm.
Philly is laying the 7 and 44.5 on the total.
Yeah, I think this is a fun teaser game. You could also lay it with the Eagles. I would kind of hoping we get a 6.5 in market before this game kicks off. And so I'm kind of just waiting around, see if I can get a 6.5 somewhere to pop. If not, I'm probably just going to, so teasers are one thing. You can also do adjusted parlays at a lot of these books. It's at 7. You don't need to tease it down to 1. You can go buy down to 2.5 and get a better price than if you tease down to 1 in a lot of spaces. So there's other ways to create adjusted parlays that are better than the teaser prices if you're just going down to 2.5. I like the Eagles a lot in this game. I'm just not sure that they cover the full touchdown. So it would be Eagles or pass for me. This Bears defense, I don't trust. I don't trust Caleb Williams against this Eagles defense. I think that's going to be the real thing that is exposed on Fridays, is Caleb Williams is going to struggle.
Fair enough. 44.5 does feel light to me. After getting blanked in the second half at Dallas, you're going to see Philly scoring points. And I think Chicago, listen, they're top six in scoring because of Ben Johnson. They are going to put up points. They will manufacture 17 points. So I will go over 44.5 here. 461, we move into Sunday here, sharp money. Houston's at Indy, and it is 4.5 Indy, and I'll just snap call it. Love Houston in this spot.
Give me the points, baby. Like, it's I think it's a good dog week here. I'm going to take this 4.5 with the better defense and offense that is on the rise. You have pieces with Indianapolis on the defensive side. I hate how they were utilized last week against Kansas City. The idea that you went out and gave everything up for Sauce Gardner that you did, and he was not on Rashee Rice in the fourth quarter in overtime is wild to me. It's just malpractice by that coaching staff. I would assume you're going to get Sauce on Nico. I think this is an under game. I like that offense didn't look great against Kansas City. Houston got to watch that football game. Houston off long rest. I like the Texans here in the 4.5.
Yeah, I do too. Easy enough. Arizona's at Tampa, 463. This number has moved big time. It is down to 2.5 with Tampa Bay laying it. What was it, 5.5 the last time we talked?
Yeah, 5.5. It was the Baker of it all, right? Is he going to go? Is he not going to go? And that's been a big part of this number.
Having said that, 2.5.
Yeah.
I don't know if I care who's playing for Tampa against this team right now in Arizona, who is just not very good.
Yeah, it's
they're prolific. They can score, and Brissett's been tremendous.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a Arizona team that's been able to at least put points on the board. And if you get Bucky Irving, if you get Baker Mayfield, I agree with you. I think the 2.5 is the right side here.
Oh,
if you
for
end
sure.
up without both of them, then you have to kind of run it back. What about just taking the over, Patrick? 43.5 right now. Like, yeah, there's a flat 43 in the market. Like, what about just taking the over? Because Teddy Two Gloves should be able to do enough here. And this is a bad Arizona defense that's missing their cornerbacks. On the other side, you've got a Arizona team that's been able to move the football, been an over team the last couple of weeks. Why not, like with a low total here, just tag the over and not worry about what happens status-wise from Baker and Bucky?
I agree with you. 465 Jacksonville. So we talked about this one. They're at Tennessee. It is down to 6.5. That's why we both liked Tennessee at 7 on Sunday's sharp money. Don't like it as much, but if I was forced, I'd still take the points with Tennessee here.
Yeah, I would take the points as well if I had to bet anything. I would not bet the 6.5. I'd wait and see if you can get a 7 back in the market and not just, if you can't, just pass this game. I was looking at some of Trevor Lawrence's numbers because I'm like the Trevor Lawrence hater on VSiN. I've officially ascended to that mantle there. When he is behind in games, 9 touchdowns, 1 interceptions, very good quarterback rating. When he is ahead or tied in football games, he's been awful. Like, awful. And that you're like, come on, man. Like, you're in a good game state and you stink. You're turning the football over. You're making bad reads. Like, this, it should be the opposite here. You should be forcing passes when you're behind. And instead, when you see him have to just wing it, he's playing well. But as soon as he starts thinking, man, it's just bad read, bad throw, turnover. I can't back him, especially as a 7-point favorite, 6.5-point favorite, right? If you're catching 3.5, if you're laying 2.5, that's one thing. If you need to win by margin, I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy.
Tennessee ends up covering the 7 covering this number, which was a backdoor situation against Seattle. I know they can do that against Jacksonville. And there's a little Cam Ward juice right now.
That's where I was going to go, Patrick. I wanted to make sure we talked about Cam Ward, who after the press conference said, things are slowing down for me. And when you watch him play football, you can tell things are slowing down for him out there. You can see him develop. You can see him understand how to get rid of the ball faster. You see him working through his progressions faster. He still has an offensive line that absolutely stinks in front of him, and you can see the improvement. You know who it reminds me of? I'm not going to say he is this dude, but it reminds me a little of Drake May last year, where you could see the moment it kind of clicked in, and you're like, oh, there's talent here. He understands what he's supposed to be doing. It's just everything around him is awful. So I do think that he's one of those, and DK is the guy on the receiving side. Without Ridley, if Iron Man isn't out there, DK is the one you want from a prop perspective. I do think that Tennessee's going to move football here.
I don't think it's crazy to compare Cam to Drake. I think he's got the dog in him, and he doesn't have terrible talent. He doesn't literally have talent to throw to or play with offensively. It is just an awful team that he is a rookie with a coach getting fired that wasn't even a good offensive mind anyway. Cam Ward's going to be good. 467, the Rams are at Carolina. I think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. I'll take the 10 with Carolina. I think this is such an overreaction. Excuse me, 10 and a half.
Yeah.
Carolina at home, overreaction to what we saw on Monday night.
I agree. It's a big, 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 big number. We talked about this at one point. I think the look ahead, let me pull it up real quick, was sub 10. Yeah. So there was 9.5. There was actually 8.5 in the market. I kind of wish I teased the Rams down when I saw that 8.5, but did not get that into the account. I would actually be Rams or pass the 10. I think Bryce Young is going to have a very, very rough time with this pass rush and this defense. The one thing about the Rams that I underrated was their defense earlier in the season. This pass rush is getting after it, and we talked about this secondary. They're improving every single week, and if this pass rush can consistently get to Bryce Young, he's going to have a very, very long day at the office here, and I don't see this Carolina defense being able to slow down the Rams. I don't love laying 10 on the road, especially traveling cross country, so I have not bet it, but it would be Rams or pass for me.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, a 7-10 point win for the Rams would be a tremendous road game.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the 10, give the hook just, brain just goes, give me the 10.5, and I'll take a 7-point win by the Rams.
Yeah.
469, New Orleans is at Miami.
Let's go.
I'm so dubious about this number. There is no reason to believe in New Orleans right now, who feel like after being so competitive for a while now, are starting to look towards a lost season. And Miami, who I think they're starting to play for the dude's job, like they actually do want him to stick around, yet you can find 5.5s. It's an iffy number.
It's kind of a strange game how it's been bet as well, because the look ahead was 4.5, but then it opened on 6, and now we've seen New Orleans money. So you saw Miami money, now you're seeing some New Orleans money, and we're in this dead zone, right? 4.5, 5.5, kind of that dead zone in Vegas. Miami is still in the playoff hunt, and I agree with what your assessment on New Orleans is. It's hard to have juice when you're just bad. Right. And week in and week out, putting forth that effort is very difficult. We're not expecting Kamara to go in here. I think that means, like, if you want Taysom Hill anytime touchdown, or if you're in fantasy and you need a tight end, Taysom Hill is going to get goal line carries for this Saints team. I would only lay it with Miami. I'm in another position, though, where I don't want to lay over a field goal with Miami. And I realize sure. The Saints team just feels like that they're kind of packing it in. But I just haven't seen the consistency with the Dolphins to be interested in laying over a field goal.
I totally get it. Feels like a 7-point win to me. So the 5.5, just because New Orleans just petered out against an Atlanta team that it just felt air coming out of the bubble a little bit. And Miami's something to play for, even if it's whimsical.
Yeah. The schedule lines up well for Miami, Patrick.
I know. Oddly enough, it does.
Putting my fan hat on. We're going to make a run, baby. Let's go. We're going to make it interesting, and then we're going to fall flat on our face. And if we do make the playoffs, we'll get blown out in the first round. But anyway, we're going to try and make a run.
And I can guarantee you McDaniel will be back next year. They're going to couple him with Tua because they're indebted to that contract.
Well, that's the thing. You can't get rid of Tua. You can next offseason, but not this offseason.
Yeah, and that's why I think he gets one more year.
And I do think McDaniel is probably one of the best possible coaches for Tua. So, I mean, yeah, I guess we're stuck. I'm glad we got rid of Greer. As a Dolphins fan, the roster structure is as big of a problem as anything else in Miami. You can't have no offensive line and no secondary and expect you're going to be able to figure it out.
There hasn't been a game in a long time I've had less of an opinion on than 471. Atlanta at the Jets, and Atlanta's 2.5.
Yeah, just shoot it to the moon, Patrick.
I don't have an opinion, and nor do I think you should. How do you manage motivation for either team here when you're figuring handicapping? The numbers don't really do. You do get some good stretches from the Jets in a game, but you have the most topsy-turvy and unpredictable team in the league in Atlanta. How can you bet this?
It's really tough. We're recording on a Wednesday. Which the one negative, right? Obviously, we got these big Thanksgiving games. Those are a huge positive. But the one negative, according on a Wednesday, don't have the full prop market out. I'm a little interested in A.D. Mitchell props. I do think that he went over his number last week. He got, I think it was like 7 targets. He only caught like 2 of them, 3 of them, whatever it was. But flew over a low number in the 20s. If he's in the 20s again, I'll take A.D. Mitchell props again. Because he's going to get targets. He's going to get looks. They traded for him. They want to see what they have there. And Tyrod Taylor is wildly more effective. than Justin Fields at throwing the football. So all of a sudden, they're a little juice in this Jets passing game. So for me, it would be 80 Mitchell props or pass in this spot.
473, San Francisco's at Cleveland. So on Sunday, I said I love Cleveland 6.5. I guess some of the market agreed because there are 4.5s out there with San Francisco laying it on the road at Cleveland, up to 5.5. I know this sounds insane. I'd still take the 5.5 with Cleveland.
I'd not bet this game. I'm with you. It would be dog or pass here. I didn't get to the window on the dog, so I'm not going to go and take a line that's 2 points worse here than what we're getting, though we have the opportunity to get on Sunday night. It's one of the important things about checking out Sunday night. This is a weather game, which is another reason we've seen the total drop and why we have seen the dog drop. So we're expecting rain with 20-mile-per-hour winds, gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Even if that drops, it's still going to drastically affect the offenses here, specifically the throwing offenses. That's why we've seen, again, 36.5 is the total. Dogs taking money. It all makes sense to me. Not a game that I want to get involved in. At some point, I might be interested in the over if that weather report starts to adjust. Because a lot of times what you'll see is the early weather report gets a number hammered down. And then all of a sudden on Saturday, it's like, oh, the winds aren't going to be that bad. The rain's going to be before the game. And all of a sudden, you have an opportunity to buy really low on a total. And this is a Niners defense that's not great. And it's a Niners offense that has the pieces to be able to move the football against Cleveland's defense, despite them being very good.
Great Cleveland defense. Maybe a hot take. Equal run game. Judkins just as good as McCaffrey. McCaffrey, the usage is crazy. Go ahead and dig. He rushes for about 3.3 a pop. There's a lot of limbs moving and want for McCaffrey to be the guy we want him to be. And yes, he is the most important player on the offense. But the actual production, the explosiveness is there from Judkins.
Well, the McCaffrey much better in the passing game, right? The receiving.
Oh, yeah. And that's without a doubt. But if we're just on the ground with the wind, and then I really think they can move the football on the ground.
So, in honor of Thanksgiving, shout out to Ed McCaffrey. Thankful for him, especially in Madden 64, because he was a truck out there. You got TD running. You got Elway. The Broncos are always my squad in Madden 64. Love getting McCaffrey involved. I mean, that is a take.
I said hot take.
Yeah. I mean, that's spicy. Okay.
What is McCaffrey running for a pop this year? Because think of him as this great football player. Yeah. He's fine. He's a tremendous receiver. Let's put it that way. Is he good on the ground? I'll tell you right now. McCaffrey this year, Mike Samich, and then we're getting to Vikings Seahawks coming up here in just a second.
I love how we're both looking it up as we fill.
No, it's okay. It's okay. McCaffrey this year,
3.7
is not bad. It's horrible.
It's mid. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be 4.2.
I mean,
three seven is woof.
Are you saying McCaffrey is like the cranberry sauce of the sides here?
No. I'm saying McCaffrey is not a good. He's a great receiving running back. He's a mid runner. Judkins is above mid.
Ooh.
So it's not the hottest take ever.
No, it's not the hottest ever. It is funny. Like, the best game he had is 6.2. That was against Arizona. Outside of that, we're talking 5.4 against Atlanta. One other game over 4. Everything else, 3.1 or less. So it's been a little bit of tough sledding on the ground. I'll give you that. But you know what McCaffrey is? He is healthy, and he is the engine of my fantasy team. So I appreciate him.
Oh, yeah. See, I knew there was something going on with that take. Minnesota's at Seattle. So this number has jumped up. You can find a 13 if you like Minnesota, but there are, and that's Pinnacle, Sharpbook, and then Square or Public Books, let me be kind, are more 11.5 with Seattle.
You remember what the look ahead was, Patrick?
I think it was 7.5.
It was 7.5. I mean, this thing is running faster than Glenn Powell and the Running Man. We'll just put it that way. I mean, this thing is just keeps going and going. I got a little pop culture reference. You're only bringing up documentaries about presidents. That's at least in theaters still. I can't touch it at 13. I can't touch it at 11.5. I'm pissed at myself for not having a 7.5 in the account. It would never be. I would need 14.5 to consider the Vikings. JJ McCarthy is worse than cranberry sauce. I mean, he is terrible at football. Have you seen the EPA numbers? In the 20th century, there are 852 qualifying quarterbacks. He is 851 of 852 at EPA. Do you know who's the only person worse than him this century at playing quarterback? Jamarcus Russell. That's the list.
In summation, 9 is down bad.
Yeah. It's a 9 is, it's the German no now. Just anytime he says 9, you just go, no, 9. Nope.
I'll be honest. I don't want anything to do with that game. So I'm just going to keep it moving. 477, Buffalo's at Pittsburgh. So Buffalo's 3.5 everywhere. Circa's 3. And 46.5 up to 47.5 on the total. Over?
Yeah, that was a great pause and like, look, like you're assessing
because
the universe.
Because I don't, no, because we hate Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I think Buffalo stinks.
It stinks is aggressive.
I like the quarterback. This is why it's the lamest sport to handicap at times, because outside of the quarterback, I really do think they're pretty bad.
They're kind of like, it's kind of like living in a really, really nice house or neighborhood, but there's a sewer issue. So every now and then you get the waft of just things you don't want to smell that pass by. And you're like, what? I have a great house, but there's this little issue. And that little issue is everything except the quarterback for Buffalo right now. There's no receivers there. We don't know what's going to happen with Keon Coleman and the back-to-back sit-outs there. The defense has not been good at all. Man, I guess it's over a pass. You're right.
It's over.
Yeah.
The Bills did get trucked by Atlanta and Miami.
I mean, but Miami might be a playoff team, Patrick.
Okay, relax. Yeah, I would say over or nothing there. Vegas is at the Chargers now. When you talk about mailing it in. So 8.5 look ahead. The steam is correct. I mean, it's 9.5. There's 10s. DraftKings 10 with the Chargers. But I'm still not interested in laying 10 with the Chargers. But if I was forced to do something, it's certainly laying the points against a team that is dead fish.
I mean, no off-fired offensive coordinator bump here? You don't think that's his
40
offense?
40.5 does not. I mean, I just don't know. I think the Chargers, that's a very good defensive coordinator and mentor. Mm-hmm. I think they feel as though they can really disrupt this offensive front.
Well, the offensive line sucks. Like, they're bad. We saw 10 sacks from Cleveland last week. This is a Raiders offensive line that hasn't been able to protect Geno Smith in any way, shape, or form. And Geno Smith, not exactly good at avoiding sacks. It would be 10 or pass here, laying it or pass with the Chargers. I would rather look at sack props. Just find your favorite defensive lineman for the Chargers here and look at what, like, 2-plus sacks is. Because last week you had a guy cash at 14-1 for 2-plus sacks on that Cleveland defense. 3-plus sacks for Myles Garrett was double digits, 10-1, I believe it was. So, like, you can find some just really good sack games here from a prop perspective. And if you like the Chargers, you're assuming, especially if you're laying 10, the game state is that you're going to see just a bunch of throws from the Raiders in the second half. And if that's the case, sack props become even more likely. And it's like, you look at Mac, he would be the one that I would point to coming off the edge. We know that you're not going to get help from the tackle perspective after what we saw with Myles Garrett last week. So I would just look at sack props in this one and move along.
481, Denver's at Washington. So Jaden must be playing because this is down from 6.5 down to 5.5.
Yes, I believe he is back.
Pass. I don't, if anything, it's Denver, but
yeah,
arrested Washington team.
I made this 5.8, like, so I'm right around the number. Washington off the bye, maybe like that a little bit. I can't stand this Commanders defense, and I don't know what we're getting back from, like, Daniels right off the bat, right? Like, this is one of those spots where, like, if he can effectively move and run around, and you're gonna get the A+ version of him. Okay, right? But I don't know. We'll see what we actually get here. And he's still listed as questionable for this game too, Patrick. It feels like this line is saying that he is going to play. And maybe if you think he doesn't go, you just bet Denver now because it goes out to 7 if it's Mariota, but I'm good. I don't need to bet this one right now.
All right, let's get through Monday night, then we'll circle back and give Thanksgiving again, just because those are important for today. Giants at New England, 7.5 New England.
I use this in a teaser. So I teased down the Patriots, and I teased down, why can't I find it on here? I teased down the Patriots, and I teased down the Chargers. So you can get the Chargers minus 2.5. Well, maybe you can't anymore. There was an 8.5 available right before we started recording, and now it's a 10. Anyway, I teased it down to 2.5, and I used the Patriots as the other leg. I think the Patriots are a great tease leg. Find someone you like to tease with the Patriots, because taking this down from 7.5 to 1.5, I think, is the best way to attack it.
Both teams will score, so if anything, over, but I don't love the game. Okay, a special sharp money Thanksgiving edition. Let's quickly run through these things. Great games. Green Bay at Detroit. Massive for the division. It's dipped to 2.5. You can find a 3. We both like Green Bay catching the 3.
Yeah, take the 3 with Green Bay. I wouldn't bet it at 2.5. You need the full field goal. If you end up getting under, if it's under 2.5, look, you're going to be watching this football game anyway. Sit there, see who gets the kick. A lot of times you'll see the number live go to 3 right away if it's at 2.5. So I would just take it in a little bit and see if you can get a better number in game if you can't get the 3. But I do like the Green Bay side. I think this is going to be fascinating to see what Dan Campbell has offensively against a defense that absolutely stymied him in week one.
Also, if you're sitting there at halftime and the relatives are annoying you, expect bedlam in the second half of this game. It's been a theme. It's been
like
a theme
the second
for the
half
Lions.
Over?
Yeah, it's been a theme for the Lions past few Thanksgivings. Kansas City, Dallas. We both like the 3.5 at home catching with Dallas, but I also like the 52 over.
I agree with you on the Dallas side. I would lean under here if I was going to take anything, just because I do think that you're going to see
52 is heavy.
It's heavy, and you're going to see a run version of this Chiefs team. That we saw it last week with 30 carries for Hunt. And the thing with Kansas City is when they run the football, you basically take explosive plays out, right? You're just not going to see it. The one thing that kind of trends toward the over here, though, Dallas really has struggled defending the deep passes, and we've seen Kansas City take 3, 4, 5 shots deep every single game. If Mahomes connects on a couple, that could push this over. But I think this Dallas defense is underrated still. I think that the market does not caught up to the current version of Dallas. Again, I don't love the trades Jerry made long-term, but it's hard not to argue that what he did has worked in season here for Dallas that can now stop the run and has been better defensively.
Finally, Cincinnati, Baltimore. Baltimore 7. Prop game, chase targets are going to be off the charts. If anything, I'm taking Cincinnati plus the points.
Yeah, Bengals plus the points here. I think this is it's not a full version of Baltimore. I don't want to say it's like a bad. I think it's a faulty Baltimore team. But I think a lot of it is because of injuries, and people are assuming that those injuries are ramified because of what we have seen off the bye and the fact that they've won 4 straight now, and all these things are going right. It's like Lamar just looks like a shell of himself. They were in a battle last week against a very bad football team in the Jets who should not have gone for it in a situation where they did on 4th down. They gave Baltimore a short field that basically put that game away. A couple weeks ago against the Dolphins, this was not a Baltimore team that was more impressive than Miami. Like this, to me, this is just a fugazi Baltimore team until you see a healthy Lamar Jackson. And so I'm betting against him until I do see a healthy version.
And finally, Black Friday. First off, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. $60. You shouldn't be going into week 13 without dropping $60 and then getting everything we offer through May 1st. And you have some time over the holiday weekend to educate yourself. The best place to do that is VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And then also, you mentioned injuries. VSiN.com/newsletter. No obligation. Put your email address in there. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up on Black Friday, and you're going to know exactly, or if you're getting this early on Thanksgiving, you're going to know exactly weather and injuries through Bill AD. I'll take Chicago 7, but I prefer the 44.5 over.
Yeah. I would be on the other side. I would lay it with the Eagles. However, I'm waiting for 6.5. If it stays at 7, I'm not going to bet it. But I would like a 6.5 in the account. I agree with you. I think the total over is an interesting look here. I think Caleb to throw a pick is a good look here. I think Caleb Williams is going to have a tough day against this Eagles defense.
Okay, sharp money. First off, thank you. We're grateful on a Thanksgiving. If you're with family, you're lucky enough to be with family. I know it's freaking annoying sometimes. Just big picture, be thankful. Samo, love doing this with you, and enjoy your family on Thanksgiving.
No, I appreciate it, Patrick. I'm thankful for you.
Thank you, buddy.
I appreciate it. It's a fun little time every now. We get to run through the NFL lines twice a week here. It's
beats
there are
working.
Worse ways. There's worse ways to make a living, man.
It beats working. Yeah, so happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays to all that subscribe. Please spread the word. like and review and subscribe.
Like, review, subscribe. Look at it.
Did
like,
I do that right?
No, you forgot rate. Like, rate, review. It's rate, I don't even know it now. It's, we want everyone out there, if you're listening, Apple, Spotify, whatever it is, subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Rate the podcast 5 stars only because you love the content so that we can get out to more people. And then download. It's download, rate, review. That's what.
That's what I. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah,
maybe subscribe too. I don't know.
Week 13 on Sunday night. We'll be back with you.
Yes,
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you then.
Sharp money. Man.